Coaching athletics can be tricky. For instance, where is the line between challenging a player to do his or her best and verbally abusing that player? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we explore the controversy surrounding the firing of the University of Iowa's former field hockey coach, Tracy Chrisbaum, and the issues it raises about coaching athletics and the possible difference in the way men are allowed to coach compared to women. We'll hear both sides of the Chrisbaum story from the University of Iowa and from Chrisbaum herself. We'll also take a broader look at what the playing field is like for female coaches for both men's and women's teams in the U.S. First, a look at this hour's news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, we start the hour by discussing the controversy surrounding the firing of the University of Iowa's former field hockey coach, Tracy Chrisbaum. Then later, we'll take a broader look at what the playing field is like for female coaches for both men's and women's teams in this country. Until a few months ago, Tracy Chrisbaum was the University of Iowa's field hockey coach, and a successful one at that. Over the course of 14 seasons, she led the team to 169 wins. Her team posted 12 winning seasons of those 14 and made 6 appearances in the NCAA tournament. In August of this year, just days before the start of the field hockey season, Chrisbaum was fired by the University of Iowa. Now, the specific details behind the firing still remain unclear, but before she was fired, Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta launched an internal review. The review was in response to a student athlete who submitted a complaint to the athletic department. The player cited Chrisbaum as verbally abusive. The student athlete who made the complaint asked to remain anonymous. The University of Iowa's own investigation, carried out by the University Human Resources and the Office of Equal Opportunity, failed to substantiate those anonymous students' statements and concluded on August 1st that Chrisbaum hadn't committed any violations of school policy. But 3 days later, Chrisbaum was fired. Why? Perhaps we'll find a little clarity in the next few minutes. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Tracy Chrisbaum herself. But first, I'm joined by Joe Brennan, the University of Iowa's Vice President for Strategic Communication. Thank you for coming into our studio, Joe.
Ben, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here. I think it's important that your listeners get to hear what happened and why Gary Barta fired Tracy Chrisbaum.
Give us the university's perspective, this timeline. What happened?
Well, over a period of years, student athletes made complaints and concerns about the culture on that team, talking about it as being verbally assaultive and intimidating. Student athletes said that they felt forced to play injured. And every time these came up, they were addressed with the athlete and the coach. But finally, early in 2014, there were several such complaints raised, more than one. And Gary determined—
By more than one athlete.
By more than one athlete. And Gary determined that he needed an investigation to be done by people outside his department. Now, the report of that investigation was published by the Des Moines Register. It's on their website. I think you've seen it. And it documents a number of concerns. And if I could just read a sentence from that report, the investigators wrote, "It is very concerning that several student athletes consistently described a team environment of fear, intimidation, and or mistreatment by Coach Chrisbaum, and that several student athletes indicated they felt pressured to play injured." Now, those concerns and what was happening on that team was very troubling to Gary Barta.
And yet this review came up with no violations of school policy. So square those two things.
Right. Well, difficult to substantiate a violation of a policy about harassment or violence. These are workplace policies that we hold ourselves accountable. But certainly in Gary's eyes, went way beyond the line of acceptable behavior. He sets a high standard for his coaches and athletes. The statement of values in the athletics department talks about having everybody uphold impeccable integrity and respect for the individual. And, you know, Gary felt that after reading that report and discussing it with Tracy, that it was his responsibility as athletic director, in order to protect the student athletes, to make that leadership change. And that's what he did in August of last year.
Now, I believe Tracy Griesbaum claims she only found out about these complaints the day she was fired. Is that the university's position?
No, it's not. Every time that students raised serious concerns, either Gary or the appropriate member of the athletics department leadership addressed that with the coach. She was aware of the investigation. Gary actually spoke with her about it in July, as well as in August, when he sat down after the report was completed to go over that with her in detail.
Tell me, is there a line as far as the university is concerned that separates, that distinguishes disrespectful from respectful communication that coaches need to be aware of?
Well, yes. This is not about yelling at players. This goes way beyond what's an acceptable way in Gary's eyes, and I think in the majority of the university's communities, how to relate to people.
Mm-hmm. Help us understand how it goes way beyond, because we have the Johnson County Assistant Attorney, Beth Beglin, for instance. This is recounted, I believe, in the Des Moines Register. Taking the example of the men's basketball coach at the University of Iowa, Fran McCaffrey, being fined, having to pay a $10,000 fine for sideline behavior, also referencing examples of McCaffrey screaming at athletes on television. But then Gary Barta, after that, giving full support for the men's coach following the suspension and the fine.
The situation with Gary in regards to Tracy is, I think, different because the incident with Fran, his outburst on the court that he was fined for was directed towards an official, and there has not been this consistent pattern of concerns raised by student athletes in any other program. And, you know, we're talking about things that are documented in that report, that several student athletes said they'd sought treatment from a therapist due to what they felt was their mistreatment by the coach, that several felt pressured to play injured, and that several indicated they wished they'd never come here. In fact, one student athlete wrote in an exit interview, "I came to the University of Iowa thinking it would be my heaven, and it quickly became my hell." Mm-hmm. Another said, "The culture was so verbally assaultive, and I felt that I couldn't speak up about it." And, you know, this is about a pattern of mistreatment that athletes complained about over the years that is not happening in any other program.
Okay. So when we talk about men's programs, women's programs, they are subject to the same evaluation. Whatever line of communication that was crossed by Tracy Griesbaum, that line is equal in men's programs, women's programs, at the University of Iowa, across different sports.
Yes, that's true. Gary holds all of his student athlete staff and coaches to a very high standard of behavior, regardless of gender. Gender is not a factor here. You know, we value diversity. That's an important strength of our university, people of different backgrounds. But we hold ourselves equally accountable to how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps you can give us some idea over recent years of how many coaches have been let go or fired under Gary Barta. How many of them were women? How many were men?
Gary's been here, it's a little bit more than 10 years now. And during that period, there have been 17 head coaches that have either resigned, retired, or been terminated. Out of those 17, 11 were men and 6 were women.
Mm, okay.
11 men, 6 women.
What checks does the university have in place to examine how and whether women and men are treated fairly within the athletic department?
Well, across the entire university, there are many ways that people can raise concerns. They can go to the Human Resources Department or the Office of Equal Opportunity and Diversity or the Ombudsman Service. And each of those areas, when it learns of complaints, will look into it and attempt to substantiate, attempt to help make the situation better.
Mm-hmm. And so in this case, oversight of Gary Barta, athletics director, is what is the chain of command there?
The athletics director reports to the president. There's also a presidential commission on athletics that consists of faculty and staff members from outside the athletic department that help provide oversight. And within the department, student athletes can go to other administrators if they're not comfortable addressing their concerns to their coach. They can go to what's called a sport administrator, which is a staff position that has responsibility. They can go to any of the assistant ADs or to the athletic director himself.
Now, an additional chapter to this case is reassigning its senior associate athletics director, Jane Meyer, to another department. Now, Jane Meyer is Tracy Griesbaum's longtime partner, and so there has been criticism of claims of retaliation, for instance. In the University of Iowa Review, to quote that, the evidence also indicates that there is no prohibited relationship between Coach Griesbaum and the athletics administrator. If that is the conclusion of this review, why has Jane Meyer been reassigned?
Well, let me first address the relationship between Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum. Our university policy recognizes that from time to time, people who have a personal relationship might be working together. And the policy says, if one party to that relationship supervises the other or sets the terms and conditions of the employment or gives direction or sets the salary or evaluates, then you've got a potential conflict of interest and you need to manage that. In the case of Meyer and Griesbaum, Griesbaum did not report to Meyer. Meyer did not control her salary, her working conditions, and so forth. That's not a violation of a policy about workplace relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Now, why was Jane Meyer reassigned? Well, with the threat of litigation, we thought it would be simpler and clearer and better for all parties concerned to not have Tracy Griesbaum's partner working in the athletic department in a senior administrative role.
What has been the university's impression of the media attention that has been garnered by this many-month-long controversy?
Well, I think that the core of this story is a coach who had a program where students felt mistreated and pressured to play injured, and an athletic director who looked at that very seriously and then made a decision that it was time to make a leadership change in order to protect athletes. I think that's the core of the story. Some of the coverage that I've read seems to miss the point and is talking about other matters like, have we provided all of the public records or the relationship between Griesbaum and Meyer?
You're talking about coverage by the Des Moines Register.
I am. Mm-hmm. And I have spoken with the Register about why they're chasing those angles rather than what seems to me to be the real core of the story,
which is
what was going on in the field hockey program.
To finish up with the wider implications of this case, going back to the firing, here we have a winning women's coach in field hockey, Tracy Griesbaum, and after a university-sanctioned report concluding that there were no violations, getting fired. Does this have national implications for other women's coaches? Other coaches looking at this, and it has been reported on ESPN and other national media, that women coaches may be afraid to coach in a way that challenges student athletes for fear of being fired without cause, for overstepping a line that perhaps is not entirely clear when it comes to verbal abuse. Can we imagine any collegiate coach not having disagreement with players at some point or another, for instance?
You know, we've never had the level and seriousness of concerns about other coaches, men and women. This isn't about a different standard for men and women. This is about what Tracy was doing. If Tracy were a man, Gary would have made the same decision. So it's important that programs win. It's important that student athletes graduate And it's equally important that we do it right. And those are the values Gary has brought to the athletic department: win, graduate, and do it right. And this is a case where he felt do it right wasn't happening and that he needed to make a change.
Can you give us any more details besides being verbally abusive, intimidating, bullying, that would make it clear to this, that clear to listeners that this had overstepped the line?
Well, I would encourage your listeners to read the 5-page single-spaced report that you can find on the Des Moines Register's website. It provides some details. And because of privacy reasons, I know that there are also other things that Gary is aware of that we're not fully sharing. But I think most of us feel that even what's documented in that 5-page report, which is the result of conversations with 40 people over 4 months.
This UI investigation.
Yes, the investigation that was conducted by Human Resources and the Equal Opportunity Office.
Okay. University of Iowa's Vice President for Strategic Communication, Joe Brennan, thanks for coming into our studio.
You're welcome, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you're just tuning in, it was during the summer of 2014 that University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta launched an internal review of the then women's field hockey coach, Tracy Grisbaum. That was after a student athlete who asked to remain anonymous submitted a complaint to the athletic department. The player cited Grisbaum as verbally abusive. The University of Iowa's own investigation, though, failed to substantiate those anonymous students' complaints. However, in August of 2014, days before the start of the field hockey season, Grisbaum was fired by the University of Iowa. Tracy Grisbaum led the team through 169 wins in 14 seasons, posting 12 winning seasons of those 14 seasons, made 6 appearances in the NCAA tournament. So this hour, we're taking a look at the reasons behind this firing, both from the perspective of the university, which we heard in the first few minutes of our program, and now from Grisbaum herself. Later in the hour, we'll take a broader look at what it's like to coach women and men's teams as a female coach in this country. Joining me now in our Iowa City studio, Tracy Grisbaum, former University of Iowa field hockey coach. Tracy Grisbaum, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Joe Brennan. Give us your side of the timeline. What happened? A synopsis.
The timeline was pretty abrupt. I do know that I, you know, have been coaching in Iowa for 22 years, and I learned early this past summer, that they were going to be launching an inquiry into the field hockey program. I was told that the inquiry was going to be happening, and then about 3 months later, I was told that I no longer have a job. There was one conversation in between those two that it was just a conversation between Gary and I, and he indicated nothing to the effect that I was not going to be employed at the University of Iowa.
And that was in early August?
That was, I believe, in July.
In July. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when that complaint was first mentioned to you, either by Gary Barta, was that the first mentioning by him?
Yes, okay. And Mary Curtis. We had a meeting together.
What specifically did you hear as far as the complaint?
Nothing. I didn't know who the complainant was. I didn't even really know what the complaint consisted of.
What words were used to describe it? I said verbally abusive. Did you get more detail than that?
No.
Nothing.
Didn't know that Gary Barta himself was concerned enough, and he thought it was, you know, concerning enough that he would launch an inquiry into the program. And it really wasn't stated that he was launching an inquiry into me specifically and solely. It was an inquiry into the program. Mm. And then from there, I was just handed a policy of the harassment policy and anti-harassment policy within the university, and was told that this is probably what they're going to be looking into.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, you were thinking there may be a reprimand or a warning from the administration. What were you thinking as far as repercussions from that?
I wasn't thinking about repercussions. I was thinking about how it could possibly even be happening, that that the program that I've led and been a part of for 22 years was under question anyway, especially when I haven't had a personal conversation with the student athlete you know, so it skipped a lot of steps. And then all of a sudden I was told there was going to be an inquiry.
Now, did you go back and talk with any of your student athletes, the women, mention this in any way to them after you became aware that there was going to be a review?
I was told that I wasn't able to talk to anyone about the inquiry process.
And you did not?
I talked to my staff.
Okay.
Because I did ask permission to talk to my staff.
So your staff, that excludes any student athletes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have said that there's a double standard that exists at the University of Iowa in the athletic department. Describe what you mean.
I believe that over through Gary's tenure and his leadership time at Iowa, there have been numerous, six female coaches that have been removed from their position. And I really believe that if the reasons were true, the reasons that they supposedly gave or didn't give about their termination or leaving their position, if the university and the athletic department looked at the same thing on the men's side, they would find way more egregious behavior. They would find similar, if not worse, winning and losing records, et cetera. So I think it's rampant. Mm-hmm. I really do.
So am I interpreting this correctly when you say that you are saying that the women are not allowed to be as challenging, verbally challenging to their players? Should we say it that way? We know there's a lot of ways to coax players to do their best, as the men's are. That the men's coaches can shout, harass, verbally abuse their players, and there's a different standard for women?
There absolutely is. At Iowa, there absolutely is. I can't really, firsthand.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, absolutely. I watch the Big Ten Network. I'm a big fan of basketball and all sports. And every time I watch Fran McCaffrey coach, his actions are more egregious in a matter of an hour and a half than mine have been over 22 years. There's no comparison. Just the behavior that the way he talks to his players, the way that his actions are towards umpires, his physical antics on the sideline, it's nothing about how I coach. Mm-hmm. So am I asking for leeway to coach my team in a more aggressive behavior? I don't even necessarily think I would be throwing water bottles. I don't think I am even capable of doing that. But why aren't I allowed to?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't I allowed to hold my athletes accountable when I know the men coaches are holding their athletes accountable? I'm a Big Ten program. And we're a highly competitive Division I sport, one of the most successful sports in the university.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of what would you say where you're edgy with your players and challenging them, where you say this may be interpreted as verbal abuse?
Actually, there's not that many examples that come to mind because I feel I'm very consistent and I'm very professional. I don't slam sticks. I don't curse. I think I've cursed one time to my players, and I will never forget the day that I did it because I still don't care for that I did it. And I used the word to describe a T-shirt. I wasn't even directing it to a player. So, I want to be able to hold the players accountable to being their best and helping them achieve excellence. And if at times I'm asking them about their performance and we talk about nutrition or we talk about their sleep or we talk about their time management, I think I have every right to do that.
Okay. We have to take a short break. I'm here with Tracy Grisbaum, the former University of Iowa field hockey coach. We're talking about her firing, and we heard from the university before. We're going to continue a bit of our conversation with Tracy Grisbaum when we come back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the firing of the former women's field hockey coach, Tracy Grisbaum, today on our program. We're going to talk about women coaches more generally a little bit later in the program. There was a University of Iowa athletic director, Gary Barta, launched an internal review earlier in the summer of 2014, when a student athlete who asked to remain anonymous submitted a complaint to the athletic department. It's not clear the specifics of that complaint. The player cited Grisbaum as verbally abusive. The University of Iowa's own investigation failed to substantiate those anonymous student complaints. However, in August, early August, just days before the field hockey season was to start, Grisbaum was fired by the University of Iowa. Earlier in the program, we heard from Joe Brennan of the University of Iowa. Now we have for another few minutes, Tracy Grisbaum herself, former University of Iowa field hockey coach. Before the break, we were talking about the accusations that were made. We didn't really come to any conclusions about what actually these accusations were. Let me ask more generally, Tracy, how do you understand the line of communication between acceptable and unacceptable communication between a coach and a student player at the university?
I personally think that you need to treat a student athlete with respect. I mean, you know, you're there, you're invested in them, they should be invested in you, and you're working together to achieve goals. I really feel that I have upheld that standard, and that's really part of my level of professionalism that I have. And I'm pretty sure that the other coaches in the department have looked to me in that regard for leadership and, you know, kind of wanted to model their coaching behavior after mine. Mm-hmm. As well.
It might be interesting to hear a little bit about the support that you've received from your former field hockey team. What happened in the aftermath of your firing?
I was not given, Gary Barta did not allow me, or didn't really grant me an opportunity to speak to the team. And on August 4th, the team wasn't all back. You know, they're starting to kind of trickle back to campus. So I never gathered the team as a whole. But, you know, currently I'm in communication with a few of the current players. And I'm in support of what they're trying to have accomplished. And that is their voice to be heard within this university, because they're not happy with the treatment of the field hockey program and myself. I'm really proud of their stance and what they're doing and those athletes I am communicating with.
I understand they also wore warm-up shirts that said TG, your initials.
Yes.
We support our coach on the front, and number 24, your uniform number. Mm-hmm. And preparation breeds confidence, Tracy Grisbaum, on the back of this. That must have meant quite a bit to you.
It did. And I had no idea it was happening. I was told before the first game that they'd be wearing them, and then it got onto the Facebook page and, you know, on social media. And I never went to a game myself in person, so I was having to kind of see those images through mm-hmm. social media.
We've got a couple minutes left. Tracy Grisbaum, what do you want? What do you want now at this point? Will there be any kind of civil lawsuit that was mentioned in the first half hour? What do you want?
I want to be able to represent and stand up for the other female coaches at the University of Iowa and their mistreatment. I also want to do this for the next generation of female coaches. It's not really personally about me. It's more about the actions and what happened to me. And I know I have former athletes in Division I, former Hawkeyes out there that are coaching, and I want them to have an opportunity to have a fulfilling, you know, long career ahead of them. And I think if this trend continues to happen, it won't be possible for them.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lawsuit, or will there be a lawsuit of any kind?
At this time, there is no lawsuit. And I know the university has made some decisions based on this lawsuit that has not happened yet. So I want the university to take a look at the double standard, and I want them to investigate externally, bring an external group into campus and look at the double standard and look at how women are being treated.
Do you want to be reinstated? Is that something you would accept?
I would be very open to reinstatement, not solely just being reinstated just to get my job back. I would want change. I would want there to be equal treatment among men and women coaches.
Mm-hmm. I understand that in the contract that you signed when you became employed here, you're at will, mm-hmm. And you can be dismissed with cause or without any cause. And you're given a sum of money upon dismissal, I think $200,000 in this case, and dismissed. Does that seem fair to you? I think that was the grounds for dismissal this time.
They didn't really give me a reason for dismissal, and it was...
But according to the contract, they didn't need to, right?
Right, but they did say it was without cause, so
right.
There was no cause.
If they decide you're just not right for the team, Gary Barta in this case, you can be dismissed, given the $200,000, and that's the end of the
right.
relationship, right?
And to my understanding, the contract obligations were fulfilled. And, you know, I did receive, you know, the $200,000, but that was in my contract that I negotiated.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for spending time to tell us your side of the story. Tracy Grisbaum, a former University of Iowa field hockey coach, we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Joining me now to talk more about this case, the firing of the University of Iowa field hockey coach, the former coach, Tracy Grisbaum. More broadly about women coaches of sports teams in the United States, Bryce Miller. He's been with the Des Moines Register Sports Department for nearly 8 years, now sports columnist, previously an editor. Bryce has been reporting the Tracy Grisbaum story since it surfaced in the summer. Bryce Miller, welcome to the program again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in. You've been covering it since it developed in the summer. You've heard today what both parties have had to say. What interests you most about this story?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think if somebody just looks at it superficially, they think it's about a non-revenue sport like field hockey that doesn't generally draw much attention outside of campus, kind of a niche following, nothing compared to the big-time college sports we'd follow. But really, it's more, and Coach Grisbaum and to a degree Joe Brennan at Iowa got into these points in a couple of ways. It's broader than that. It's about it's potentially debate, discussion, which could make it into the courtroom about how women's coaches are treated. Are there double standards? Are they treated in the same way as men? And our coverage of it is also kind of expanded to broader questions about, you know, is Iowa following open records law? And our argument is that they haven't, and we filed, the Des Moines Register filed a public information board complaint with the state that's being discussed now. There's no outcome on that yet, but that's another issue. There's issues related to relationships on campus and how those are handled in terms of, you know, nepotism policy and beyond. It's a story that has so many layers beyond a coach and a team, but it all kind of is born out of what really was a surprise firing to most of the coach back in August.
Bryce, I want to ask you about some of the wording in the University of Iowa investigations report, a report filed by Gary Barta, the athletic director. And it includes wording such as this: the majority of student athletes positively describe the program as intense and highly competitive. Other wording, they have not witnessed student athletes mistreated by the coaching staff. But the report also says several student athletes, quote, sought treatment from a therapist due to their mistreatment by Coach Grisbaum. So is there a contradiction here? Can both of these be true and coexist?
That's a great question. That's one I don't know that any of us have gotten answered in its entirety. What is so surprising about it is the report that you mentioned, although it does cite some concerns, and these are anonymous concerns in the report. Iowa would tell you that they're anonymous because they wanted to protect the identity of those student athletes. They're even in those situations, probably FERPA law that applies in terms of student confidentiality. But at the same time, I understand Tracy Grisbaum and the folks that are working with her being surprised that out of that report, that although it raises a few concerns, it ultimately, in summary, says there were no policy violations according to UI's policies and standards.
Right, but you said you heard Joe Brennan say a pattern of mistreatment, verbal assault, going back years involving multiple complaints from students.
Well, what's confusing about that explanation is that isn't the summary you get from that report. And very quickly, within a matter of just a couple of weeks after that report, her job status changed. And we asked her in an interview. We sat down with Tracy Grisbaum and another reporter, Jason Clayworth, and I of the Register. And we said, when did you know that your you knew there was an investigation, but when did you suspect your job might be in jeopardy? She said at whatever time it was, I think 3 o'clock on the day I walked in and I was told I was fired. She felt really blindsided by that. And the reason I understand that position, the reason I don't understand some of Iowa's position, is the report reinforces that although there are concerns, there were no policy violations, doesn't give any hint that any of this action is going to take place in the next 2 weeks. And we requested open records from the University of Iowa, and we have email communications with Gary Barta, the athletic director, who in and around that report, that time of the report, says, yeah, there's some things we need to talk about, but we're going to get past, I'm paraphrasing, we're going to get past this and get ready to get on the field and start the new season. So there are even those verbal reassurances just weeks before that same person fired the coach. So what happened, what changed so dramatically from the time of those emails and that report in just 2 weeks' time, we still don't know that.
Mm-hmm. You talked about this double standard. Let's talk about that briefly. The larger issue here, is there a double standard in the way female athletes are taught at this level, trained at this level, coached at this level, and the way that the young men at our universities and colleges are?
Well, that's a question that's being asked because of this story, and that's one of those layers that goes beyond an individual sports team. We wrote a bigger Sunday Enterprise package that addressed that in December. You know, Grissbaum is the fourth UI women's coach fired or forced out since 2010. That has caused a lot of people, including a pretty prominent ESPN piece, and I think the headline on it is "What the heck is going on in the Iowa Athletic Department?" That quotes those coaches who've been asked to leave, fired, or forced out, and they raised real concerns with the culture, the climate. They can only speak for one campus. Iowa clearly denies that. They will tell you they have financial details that show the highest percentage increase in support of any program in the last budget cycle was field hockey in a percentage way, not overall dollars, but in a percentage way. And as Joe Brennan mentioned, 11 of the 17 coaching changes under Gary Barta have involved men in the time that he's been there. So the majority of changes are men. But in a smaller sample size, most recently involving these coaches, that's kind of fueled that national discussion of the question you've asked, are women's coaches treated differently at Iowa or anywhere at any campus? And that's why this has bigger discussion potential beyond just one campus.
Bryce Miller is with us of the Des Moines Register, where he's a sports columnist. He's been reporting on the firing of Tracy Grissbaum, the former University of Iowa field hockey coach. We have no time for callers today, but the conversation continues on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. What do you think of this case? Now that you've heard both sides and comment from Bryce Miller, what are your thoughts about female athletic coaches? Is there a double standard in the way that women are allowed to coach compared to men? Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. After this program, we'll post also the program if you'd like to hear the entire one by going to iowapublicradio.org. Joining us now, in addition to Bryce Miller, Marlene Bjornsrud is Executive Director of the Alliance of Women Coaches, joining us from California. Marlene, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to the whole program, I believe. And you have spent your career working with female coaches. You also spent part of the last year doing a project for the International Olympic Committee, traveling with the U.S. women's soccer team, where you spent a lot of time talking with coaches about the challenges for women in the field. First of all, before we get to the double standard, not much time here, but I want to have your reaction, about the Grissbaum story.
Well, I'd say Tracy's situation is not unique, but it has served to catalyze the community of women coaches around the nation in some incredible ways. Her situation certainly has gained a national profile, very much due to Bryce's work as a sports columnist. But I think there are so many women going through similar situations that it certainly begs the conversation about double standards like you're having today.
Mm-hmm. Where do you come down on this double standard accusation that the men are treated perhaps harsher than the women are allowed to be treated? Though in this case, Coach Grissbaum said she was not harsh at all.
Well, I think a couple things have bubbled up as I've listened to today's conversation. One is that the traditional profile of a coach is someone who's loud and assertive. When a woman coach meets this traditional profile, she is called abusive. And that is a very clear double standard. I think women are expected to conform to a gender norm of being caring, but also be tough, where male coaches don't need to be caring. But I think to me, the glaring piece of the conversation today that has really struck me is that it seems to be socially acceptable for a female athlete to say something like, "The coach was mean to me."
Mm-hmm.
But it is not sociably acceptable for a male athlete to do that. Thus, this sense that female athletes and parents now, and parents of female athletes, seem to have a direct line of communication with athletic directors, which would be like going to a governor for a speeding ticket. It makes no sense that they're not having conversations with the coach first. And the number of times that the gentleman from the university used the word anonymous really bothers me, because Tracy does not deserve to be caught off guard by these allegations, and that many of her current athletes and a huge number of her former athletes are standing strongly in her corner really speaks to me about this sense of a flaw that we have in this generation of female athletes, that they feel they can use the word abusive very carelessly and make that charge and not have the conversation with the coach first, but go directly to those who can impact her profession and her job. That's a double standard. You just don't hear very often at all of male athletes making those same charges and the same drastic consequences following.
Let me get to a couple of emails, a lot of conversation on our social media. Go to Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page if you'd like to have a comment there to continue the conversation. And email us if you'd like, river2river@iowapublicradio.org. A couple of emails here, an email from Carrie in Massachusetts. My name is Carrie Lessard. I was a student athlete at the University of Iowa from 95 to 99. Tracy was my assistant coach all 4 years, taught me more than just the sport of field hockey. I have always respected her as a coach and as a person. That respect has raised to a new level since her wrongful termination. The University of Iowa needs to be held accountable for their actions. When will enough be enough? Another email, this from Jackie, River to River listener in North Carolina, as well as, she says in her email, a female coach and former University of Iowa athlete. Could there be a larger issue of overuse injuries? During my career at the University of Iowa, writes Jackie, I encountered field hockey players with shin splints and compartment syndrome. I don't know what that is, but and going on with the email, and I had spoken with a coach from another university who once referred to Iowa field hockey as, quote, having set the compartment syndrome record. Coaches need more education in terms of how to structure season based on intensity and rest. I don't know Grisbaum personally, and am in no way indicating she was a bad person or a bad coach, but these are questions no one has been asking, and it's a shame. Marlene, react to that. Is there something truth, something in that last email?
Well, one of the things that I wrote down during the previous interviews was this accusation of pressure to play injured. At an institution like Iowa, it is not just a coach who daily is monitoring the physical well-being of their players. There are trainers, there are doctors, there's a whole team of coaches. And if it has almost become impossible for a coach to force a player to play injured because there are professionals around that safeguard the health and well-being of that athlete.
Is that the same for men and women equally?
It is. I believe it is at an institution, at the major institutions, they have those kind of resources. Now, at smaller institutions where coaches are asked to have a team of athletes without those resources, then you hear those complaints more often. But I don't know that there's, I've spent most of my adult career around the sport of soccer at the highest level in the world, watching those athletes. Soccer and what's happened with women athletes in terms of ACL injuries, there's a lot of study going on. I think there should be a lot of those studies going on in field hockey too. But I don't think it's just a matter of a coach unilaterally making a decision to pressure players to play injured. That I just don't believe that happens at a place like Iowa.
Okay, very quickly, we have just over a minute. I'll split it up 30 seconds to each of you. Bryce Miller, where is this story going? How is the field of coaching changing because of it?
Well, real quickly, one of the things we tried to verify Iowa's contention that there were high-level complaints, and we found that 15 field hockey players left for reasons other than graduation since 2008. And as a percentage of their roster, a quote we had in our story, it'd be like the equivalent of 85 football players leaving during that period of time. So would that be a headline in the Des Moines Register? That was the quote. But on the flip side, you've got one of the most successful coaches, 1,900 likes on her Facebook page to reinstate her. And her attorney, Tom Newkirk, I thought had a great quote. Our point is this: take every single allegation it made against Griesbaum and imagine it's true. Who cares? Can you imagine the current basketball coach had her record, 4 Big Ten titles? If male players complained about his tantrums on the sideline, do you think anyone would care one bit?
Okay.
I understand that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marlene, you've got 15 seconds. Sorry.
Okay. My concern is that fewer men, male coaches, lose their jobs for these kind of reasons, but they get recycled in the career very, very quickly. I have great concerns when a great coach like Tracy loses her job.
Do you think this is a career ender for her?
I hope not.
Okay.
And there's a whole lot of women coaches in her corner that are going to make sure it's not.
Okay. Marlene Bjornsrud is Executive Director of the Alliance of Women Coaches, joining us from California. Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you.
Bryce Miller of the Des Moines Register, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. John Pemble helped us out. Catherine Perkins is our Executive Director. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.